Inslee's executive order, Governor Inslee's executive order of 3 years ago said, amongst other things, that we seek to engage key electric utilities that generate electricity through coal-fired facilities located outside of the state and that rely on this electricity to meet their Washington electric loads with the objective of reducing overall greenhouse gas emissions from the generation of electricity. Clearly, we are getting a policy directive of where we want to go. In addition to that, we see the governor's decarbonization plan, which has three premises: make sure you are efficient across the board, and then clean up the grid. That means no gas, no coal, and the third step, you load up all your electricity appliances on the grid. It's not just Washington. U.S. Secretary John Kerry presented that same study. The UN presented the same study. Now three states across the country have done that. And other countries across the world, the three premises of stopping global warming are the same, and an anchor tenant is to have a carbon-free grid. This plan does not provide that. Let's go on to some of the other pressures we have. As you heard here earlier, the mine, as currently permitted, will run out of coal by 2024. We know that Talen is under tremendous pressure. They reported losses to the SEC this year in some of their quarterly reports. And what Puget just analyzed as of August of this year, that a modest carbon price would create enough economic pressure on Colstrip that if they closed it in 2025, they would be saving customers $50 million. And now, as we heard earlier in testimony, we have increasing liability from the expanding toxic coal ash plume at the plant, which is going to grow in liability for customers. And the last point is this. Four of the utilities say they're going to have to do regional haze requirements. Pacific Source says 2022, 2023. Avista says 2027, 2028. Puget's about in the middle. So you're talking around 2025. The most recent analysis of the most recent SCR requirement for those NOx controls was for PacifiCorp in Utah. And for a plant two-thirds the size of Colstrip, that price tag was $250 million, right? So now we're looking at a cost that would be at least $250 million and tens of millions of dollars to operate. Who in their right mind would be taking on that kind of cost in 2025? This plant is going to retire by then or sooner, and there is no reality coming out of Avista to plan for that inevitability. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. So let's move on to the next four then. That would be George Taylor, Jennifer Calvert, Hollis Higgins, and Jorgen Rasmussen. I have now got my timer set. I actually had it for this last panel, and every one of you went over by almost twice what your allotted time was. So I would ask so that we can, every moment you speak, you're taking time from somebody else. So if it's redundant, we probably have heard it before. All right, so Mr. Taylor, go ahead.
Yes, I'm George Taylor. I'm a ratepayer in Spokane. I received my bill from Avista for a two-month period just the other day for a modest family of four in a small home in Lower South Hill. The bill was $675.83. That included natural gas and electric. But I want to respond to a comment that was made earlier of a man here who said that he was only interested in low-cost energy. There's something far more important in our energy, in our world, than low-cost delivery of reliable, low-cost energy. And that more important value is the future of our children and grandchildren. I'm opposed to any Avista rate increase because we can't afford it. The rates are too high as they are right now. And Avista kind of makes pays lip service to the importance of conservation and reducing our energy needs, and I think that's a good point. But just recently they abolished their free service that they provided for customers of a free where they evaluate your home to see if you can reduce your
energy audit.
That's it. That's yes. A free energy audit. Avista recently abolished this. And if they're really interested in helping us, I think a far more good thing for them to do on their bill would be, instead of having the box that says will you contribute some money to those who can't afford to pay their bill? And you can contribute $5 or $10. Why don't they put a box, or why don't they themselves say, we are going to set aside some corporate money to help you grant or loan you some money to help weatherize your home? In the whole presentation that the boys with the suits made up here, no mention was made of some way to help customers conserve the energy in their own homes. And I think weatherization of windows and doors and other things that Avista could help us with, they could set aside some money and some programs to help particularly their low-income customers. I believe that corporate management should quickly transition to solar, wind, and geothermal that are more environmentally friendly and in the long term result in lower electric bills for the customers like me. And then, who will absorb the costs of the cleanup of this terrible Colstrip plant? Already China is banning nationwide coal for home heating purposes throughout their country, which is a world, and they are a world leader in producing wind turbines, making more each year than the USA, and of higher quality and efficiency. Avista should not wait for market forces to drive it out of the coal energy business. Avista should do the right thing for its customers and for the health of the planet and shut down the Colstrip mine as quickly as is humanly possible before it's too late. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Ms. Calvert?
Yes, my name is Jennifer Calvert, and I've been a resident of the of Spokane area for about 35 years, so half my life. A few years ago, I took part in a fun little board game at a League of Women Voters meeting. Is Clint still here? Yes, and Clint was the Avista representative who came and had us play this little board game where we determined different sources of power that was available and what the costs would be. And it seemed pretty clear that moving away from coal as a significant source of electricity was going to be too costly for the ratepayers of Avista to consider. But if you fast forward a few years, the landscape has changed on many levels. The cost of alternative sources of power, especially renewable sources like wind and solar, have fallen significantly. But even more important, the costs of continuing to use coal to produce electricity have risen, with especially when you consider the cost of the cleanup when a facility is abandoned, and not to mention the ancillary costs of air and water pollution and the accompanying health hazards. So it's ludicrous for Avista to make a two-decade-long plan to continue to use coal to create power. Scientists tell us, and more people are beginning to agree with them, that every bit of coal in the ground needs to stay there if we have any hope of keeping the Earth's climate from becoming unlivable for all life on the planet. So for Avista to make a plan for the future that depends on using coal is so short-sighted as well as dangerous. I had to come here today to plead for a positive change in the direction towards our continued existence on this planet, because I don't want my teenage grandson to have to say to me someday in the future that I had the chance to speak up and stop this madness, but instead decided to stay home and let the powers that be make the decision to ruin his future. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And Mr. Higgins?
Hi, thank you, Commission, for letting us come and speak with you here in the East Valley. My name is Hollis Higgins. I've been a resident of Spokane for 25 years, live a mile north of town. And I would just like to say that we have air, water, land, and noise pollution problem in Spokane. At 3:30 in the morning, you can hear the horns of trains coming through, hauling coal and whatever else. Oil. And I would like to make a comment too that we have enough trains, and in combination with all the other pollution that we have in Spokane, including that from increased airplane activity at the Spokane International Airport, and the fact that the Air Force is trying to bring in even more planes, more straddle tankers, which means more training and more landing and more dump fuel, we have a problem of air pollution. Now, my wife has COPD. She's got asthma and emphysema. And I looked at the daily air quality report, and I find that 2.5 parts per million particulates are in our air almost every day of the year here in Spokane already. So whatever contribution that Avista coal burning and whatever else they're doing with their trucks is a problem. So right now, I'm trying to contribute to the solution by we just have a one-car family. We park it most days. I'm trying to convert my old Volkswagen into an electric car. It cost me quite a bit of money for batteries, but it's almost ready. Alternatives are available. Even in Montana, you got wind and solar plants right next to the grid lines. You could shut down Colstrip really, really quickly. And also, I'd like to mention here, I've been given $10 a block for 20 years. And what did I get? I didn't get the wind power I wanted. I got these big propellers from Siemens Energy in Germany. What I really wanted was a vertical axis wind turbine that will spin at the slightest amount of wind from any direction. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why we can't get that. That seems to be blocked by this type of corporation. So my conclusion is that we can't survive without energy up here. So we do need it, but we're not being heard by Avista. They're still claiming that they got to pay their investors. So I think their models lack proper input. It's a bean counter's fantasy dream what they've come up with. They're not putting in the right stuff, so they can't get the right stuff out to help everybody. So because of their mismanagement and their incompetence, I would like to call for a public utilities district to replace Avista by the city of Spokane and the region. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Rasmussen.
All right. Mike. Thank you so much for coming to Spokane. Thanks for letting me speak here today. Last time I spoke was on a conference call to Olympia, and this is much more comfortable face-to-face. Thank you. I just want to point out I got involved with Avista when I first moved up here 10 years ago. I got a grand tour of the solar installation on top of their corporate building and got introduced to SunCar, and that got me going big time. That's 10 years ago. They were way ahead of the time at the time. That was before Tesla. That was before anybody was even thinking about driving on solar. I have to say, it's kind of lacked a little bit since that time. That program kind of flip-flopped a little bit, publicity-wise. I have since expanded my solar system to 16 kilowatt, which is a fairly good size through all kinds of incentives. Avista has done the community solar, which is a good move. It's about 423 kilowatt, if I'm not mistaken. But it's only about 25 times bigger than my personal solar system. 25, that's it. When it comes to the new proposal, I think they were talking about 15 megawatt, which is about 15 times bigger than the current community solar, which is a good move. It was just announced today, it's up to 28. megawatt, which is an even better move, but it's only 65 times bigger than what they currently have in regard to community solar. It's helping, but it needs to be on a lot larger scale to really make a difference, because everybody needs power. I also want to say earlier today there was testimonies about low income and low power bills. There has been programs, and I was part of approving the 300 charging systems around town for electric driving. And I know there have been programs, a push for programs for getting low-income families driving electric vehicles. That's the bang for the buck. Literally, hundreds to $200 a month can be saved on driving electric, especially if leasing programs becomes available through the utility company to promote that. So my recommendation to the commissioner and to Avista, for that matter, on the next IRP, I think the carbon footprint associated with these kinds of activities should be included, so we get a feel for what that impact really is. When you start driving electric, you know, that's a carbon reduction when it comes to the combustion engine. Getting that into the evaluations of the report. And last but not least, I would like to say, you know, solar storage and solar power is really important. There are reports out saying that it's competitive to peakers. I think it was out of Minnesota. Reports were coming saying that when it comes to investments, some of these investments for the peakers are higher or at par with solar installation plus storage installations. Last but not least, there's been a lot of talk about coal, and I would like to do a quick little chemistry lessons in regard to what natural gas is all about. Natural gas is not really natural, because natural gas is CH4, and I have it here in the form of these two bottles. This is a hydrogen, and this is a carbon. When you combust that, you burn hydrogen together with oxygen, and you get water. That's understood. That's the best part of natural gas. But this is a carbon footprint that you get from one therm of natural gas. That's 100 cubic feet. That is the weight of the carbon coming from one therm of power. Go look at your electric bill and get a feel for how much you are sending out your chimney. It corresponds to about 1 hour of a shower. It's really the energy you are using to do this. So this is about 12 pounds, a little less than 12 pounds of CO2 that's being emitted using natural gas. Just as a lesson, I'm an engineer, and I need to understand what it really means to burn natural gas, and this has helped me understand that. There's other issues with natural gas. One is the shrinkage required. That's to pump the natural gas to the source or from the source to the consumer. That takes a lot of power as well. That's this bottle. And this one here represent only 0.75% of leakage in the utility lines. Some numbers out there, we're up around 4 or 5%. This is only 3%, 0.75% leakage of natural gas. So be very cautious when it comes to natural gas. I have to say, natural gas is probably here to stay around. We just have to manage it very carefully. As the last statement, I would say I'm very excited about the future, because we're going to Mars very shortly. And how are we going to come back from Mars? Or how are we going to go to Mars? We're going to fly to Mars on natural gas, literally. But more importantly, we are going to return from Mars from synthetic natural gas made on Mars. They are going to produce natural gas to come back from Mars, back to Earth. So the technology we come in, it will be enhanced, so the efficiency of making natural gas from sustainable power will be coming down the pipeline. That's what gets me excited, and I hope that makes a good end to your presentations here today. Get excited about the future.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, we're taking a time check. It is 3:30. We have gotten through 2 1/4 of 6 sign-in sheets. So for those of you who would like to cede your speaking slot, we're taking volunteers. In the meantime, the next 4 people I'm going to call up. Valerie Carlton, do you wish to speak?
No.
Okay. David Rodell. Yeah, Randall. There you go. Come forward. Rachma Ben-Yosef, the Lands Council, are you here? Okay. Val Whaley. Okay. Fauna Slavic. Okay. David Camp. Come forward. All right. And Brad Sauer. Come forward. Let's see. Laura Ackerman. All right, Mr. Randall, please go forward.
Thank you. I'll try to make this brief. I'd like to put things in context to what we're talking about here and ask you a question. Would you put your children or grandchildren on an airplane if that airplane had a 1 in 20 chance of crashing and killing everybody on board? According to the Scripps Institute of Oceanography, that question is equivalent to the threat of human-caused climate change. In a report released by Scripps in September of this year, they report that a 1 in 20 chance that by the year 2050, there will be a catastrophic climate occurrence that humans will not be able to adjust to. And by the year 2100, the human race will be wiped out of the earth. It will completely annihilate people and life on this planet. The Colstrip fire generator is a major polluter of greenhouse gases. And it's about time we start listening to climate scientists. Science is not an opinion. It's rather facts that have been researched meticulously and then peer-reviewed. We are at a point now where we are measuring it's a measurable risk that we can wipe out the entire human race in less than, well, in 80 years. We need to get off of fossil fuels, and that is especially true of coal-fired generators. We are at a crisis point right now. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Sauer, go for it.
Can you hear me?
Nope.
How's this?
That's fine.
Okay. Well, hello again. I've spoken before you previously, a few years ago. I was hoping I wouldn't have to come back, but here I am. High Ranch in Rosebud County, 17 miles by road from Colstrip, much closer as the crow flies. I'd like to talk about a few concepts. The ideas of then and now and something and nothing. I hear often in our community that nothing was here before the plants. Well, I believe my neighbor, Mr. King, is he still here? He might disagree. His culture has hundreds of years of life there. The culture I'm from has 100 years of life and can go on. In the 1970s, when Colstrip was begun, the power supply for Montana was guaranteed through the existing generation facilities, be that hydro or whatever plants were operating then. We didn't need those plants. Those plants, they were built on speculation and the need to provide cheap power for this area. Now, when the plants were started, there was nothing to tax. So who would have to pay for the required services of a larger workforce, government services such as law enforcement, etc., in a word, impacts? Well, that was the property owners in Rosebud County. We subsidized your cheap power. Now we have something there, and yes, there are taxable assets and there are benefits from that, but we also have some problems, and you've heard about those today and you'll continue to hear about them. Our local group of ranchers has sought to provide common sense solutions to these problems. We've encountered nothing but trouble and opposition for the very simple things like clean up your mess. I can go on, I won't. I think you've heard what some of the problems are. Just to name a few, we've lost sections of rangeland that they're completely out of production, and that means they're not worth anything for taxes. We have, through our efforts, generated jobs at Colstrip in the form of reclamation and the installation of air quality. None of these things would have happened without our efforts. And I really don't want to be the one taking credit for them because we have plenty of other things to do. How am I doing on time?
You're over.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to finish up briefly here.
Briefly.
The difference between then and now is that you have time. Then it was, let's get this done quickly and get this power generated and make more jobs. The hell with the damages. Now you got time to plan. I urge you to provide consistency across the board. I urge you to determine the full ramifications of what is actually going on there to the extent of your ability. To my notion or my information, no one has actually determined the full extent of the problems. Take a good look. I encourage everybody to do that. Phase the process. Impact your ratepayers the least amount. We paid for the startup. Require the stockholders and the companies to pay for the shutdown and the something that's left. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. All right, Mr. Camp?
Yes, hi. I'm an Avista ratepayer, resident of Spokane, and I ask you to shorten the payment schedule for Colstrip Units 3 and 4 to 2023, get Avista off of coal-fired power entirely by that date. And I wanted to take particular issue with the cost of carbon that was quoted in their presentation. They've mentioned $14 and change per ton for Montana. The U.S. government figure for the social cost of carbon is approximately $40 per ton, and that's widely estimated to be very low. The international consensus varies from $80 to $200 per ton. The fact is, coal is extremely expensive. We just don't pay the cost as ratepayers. The cost of Colstrip's dirty power is largely borne by the poorest people on the planet who have no voice here today. According to the DARA Climate Vulnerability Monitor, which is a major study jointly commissioned by 20 national governments, climate change now kills 400,000 people annually. The health impacts of burning fossil fuels kills millions more. More than 5 million dead every year. That is from an admittedly alarming but credible international study. The World Health Organization has figures almost as bad. These are the costs of burning coal, and you must account for them in your evaluation of Avista's IRP. You must. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Ackerman?
I'm Laura Ackerman. I work for the Lands Council, and thank you for coming to Spokane, Commissioners, and for extending this hearing. Most of our members and supporters are Avista customers, and we strongly appreciate Avista's leadership position in Spokane. They do a lot of good in this community, but Avista needs to get off of coal, and they need to get out of Colstrip by 2025. And coal has famously been called a dead man walking by Kevin Parker, and it is. It's a stranded asset, and we can't leave any ratepayers to pay for the non-future of coal. And David Camp is exactly right. There are so many studies. There are dozens of studies on air pollution, and they're extraordinary. I've been reading them almost every day since 2013. And air pollution is the single greatest killer of humans in the world, and it not only impacts your physical health, it impacts mental health. And those costs to human health have to be included in any kind of plan for humans, for an IRP, for the costs of doing this kind of business in fossil fuels. We don't burn coal in Spokane from Colstrip, as you know, but our coal by wire harms other human beings. It harms the people in Montana. They have absolutely every right to be at this hearing. I know of four energy companies, at least four, that are getting out of coal. Patricia Campling of Alliant Energy Corps says that sometimes you have to let go of your past, and this is the task of Avista. They've been in this community for over a century, and they can do this. They can get out of coal. They have the resiliency to let go and move into the future, because the words coal and future don't belong in the same sentence.
All right, thank you very much. Next four up, Ziggy, you did not give your full name. And I don't know, I don't think we have an AG here to find out whether we can. What's that? Ziggy is gone. All right. Rebecca McMullen, you wish to speak? Jace Bailenga, would you come forward, please? And Rob Chase and Dave Jones.
I'll decline.
Who are you, Rob Chase? You're Dave Jones? All right. Then Judy Butler. All right, why don't you begin?
Well, thank you for coming to Spokane today. My name is Rebecca McMullen. I'm an Avista customer with a distributed solar array on my home, so I appreciate that Avista's made efforts to embrace renewable energy. But on the issue of coal by wire, Avista is wrong. And I ask that Avista commit to the 2023 shutdown of coal strip scenario described in the IRP instead of relying on coal for another 20 years. This plan does not account for the external costs of coal, the future costs of remediating coal strip, nor, most importantly, the almost incalculable costs of climate change. The 16 million metric tons of CO2 emitted annually by coal strip jeopardizes our chance at a livable future. If the UTC's mission is to protect the people of Washington by ensuring that an investor-owned utility services are safe, then this commission cannot approve this IRP and serve its mission. The argument that we must choose between our environment or affordable power is based on the false assumption that we could ever escape paying for the destruction of the environment on which our survival depends. This plan completely fails to account for the multiple billions of dollars of value in ecosystem services that we as humans enjoy. Clean air, clean water, sufficient food, a safe and stable climate. These are services that have real value, and they are completely absent in this plan. So let's face all the facts and consider all the evidence and plan to be leaders and investors in a clean energy future.
All right, thank you very much. Mr. Bailenga.
Hello, my name is Jace Bailenga, and I'm an Avista customer here in Spokane and have been for about a decade. A couple of years ago, I was working for the Sierra Club at the time and came over to Olympia for the IRP hearing there. So thank you very much for making the trip over here. Really appreciate it, and I hope we can continue to have hearings about Avista's resource plans over here in Spokane. I no longer work for the Sierra Club. I'm actually working for an organization called Fuse, and I'm part of my role with them is with the Alliance for Jobs and Clean Energy, which is a growing movement across the state of people committed to a just climate transition, which takes care of low-income communities that are most impacted by the impacts of climate change, as well as the workers in the fossil fuel industry. We want to make sure that those people are taken care of as we transition away from fossil fuels to renewable energy. So I've been working with a broad base of people who are all really excited about this transition, including the labor community. So I'm a part of the Young Emerging Labor Leaders here in Spokane, and we had a great presence at the Spokane Regional Labor Council's labor rally just a few weeks ago. There's a couple thousand people that attended, and they were all really excited when we talked about the policy that is moving forward with the Alliance for Jobs and Clean Energy. And I mentioned that in light of Avista's IRP to just show that what we're trying to do is put a price on carbon pollution and pay the true cost of what polluting the climate does. And I think that should also be reflected in Avista's IRP, and I don't believe it is. So the labor community is excited about a transition to clean energy, and we want to build it here in Eastern Washington and lead the way nationally. So thank you for coming over. I could talk a lot about other things, but would love to see Colstrip retire by 2025, and but we need to make sure we take care of the workers, the tribal entities. I really want to echo the gentleman from the Cheyenne tribes right. comments as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. Again, if you feel like what you want to say has been said, then you might consider letting others speak, just because in the interest of time, we are running out and we have another hearing that we need to go to. In fact, I think we have a A hard close at 4, so I think my colleagues need to get to another place. I'm willing to hang around for a little bit, but I may need to bum a ride from somebody to the next hearing if we do that. So, all right, I'm going to call people up. If you, again, if you're willing to give up your place at the dais, if you feel someone else has already spoken your sentiments, then I would appreciate it. So Rob Chase, Judy Butler, Jason, I can't read your last name, starts with an O-S, I believe. Okay. William McCormick, Lawrence Luton, Fred Rittenmund, Pauline Druffel.
I'll pass.
All right, thank you. Theodore Salih, please come forward. Gwei Tippett. Okay, thank you. Brian Parker.
Yes.
Come forward. And John Osborne. Patricia Mann. Jim Simon. Eric Budsberg. Christy Coleman Berman. Ann Coleman. Jean Oglesby. Come forward. And Andy Kennedy. Jacob Sultan. I get the name right? All right. Yeah, I'm almost there. Okay. Yes, please go ahead.
Hi. I'm Theodora Salih, and I am an Avista customer. And I drive a Prius, half electric. And what I would like to say is, as I totally agree with most of the people who have spoken here, I would like Avista to divest of fossil fuel energy as soon as possible. So that includes natural gas. I think most people think this global warming thing is out in some nebulous future. We are two-thirds of the way into the sixth mass extinction on this planet. We have lost already two-thirds of life on this planet that we had 100 years ago. If the oceans continue to die at the rate that they are right now, there will be no fish in the ocean by 2048. I don't know that human life will be possible if there's no fish in the ocean. So it's very important that we clean up the environment and protect this planet for our children, grandchildren, and so on. Otherwise, like the previous gentleman said, we'll be extinct. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Parker.
Hi, my name is Brian Parker. I'm a Spokane resident and a Avista ratepayer. I'm a recent transplant to Washington. It's almost like I've arrived through a time warp. I was very involved as a citizen and just watching what's going on in California. Had the chance to be a power plant developer for a 250-megawatt solar power plant. It was the first big solar power plant that the PG&E on a RFO contracted with. And I know I'm in a different place, but I'm looking up at a 15-megawatt proposal and line after line on the IRP slide about peaker plants. I'm here to encourage you to take a leadership role. Pretty clearly, we need to tell these guys what to do. And that's what happened in California. The PUC got wild and crazy. The state legislature got wild and crazy and set a requirement for 30% RPS by 2020. I think they're either going to be at 50 or 60 by 2030, and they were talking, I can't keep up on it, who can keep up on what's going on in California, 100% renewables by 2045. And I think we need to challenge the utilities to do more. I hope the commission will mandate the closure and payoff of the coal strip plant by 2025 and put some room in the IRP for renewables and challenge the utilities. And you know they'll get on it. PG&E is about as good as they come, and they started, they were not there. The reason my plant, my 250 megawatt plant got built was somebody from PG&E heard we were going to propose 50 in the request for offer, and they said, you should go way bigger. And, you know, that was just a little phone call. We want to give you a hint on what we're looking to do. And they took leadership. That was some staff person took leadership. And all of a sudden, there's a 250 megawatt power plant because we weren't even going to propose it. It was like, wow, that's way bigger, you know, than anything we'd ever done with SunPower Corporation I worked for. So I just, please, let's challenge the utilities. Let's close down the coal. And let's be part of the blue wall that's going to stand up to Mr. President Trump. And I think if you don't have the legislative support, if you don't think you have the ability to do this, now's the time to go to the legislature and get the authority you need. But we need to have some planning, and we need to challenge utilities, and they'll rise to the occasion. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Ms. Oglesby?
Hi, I'm Jean Oglesby, and I live with Jan Rasmussen, who spoke earlier. And whenever I have a question about energy or how power is generated or how it moves around the country, I just have him sitting there right in a chair next to me that I can ask him all these questions. I'm sorry that the general public doesn't get to have this information as available to them as I do. Okay, if you're going to ask all the ratepayers, do they want a lower rate? Everybody's going to say yes if they're not educated in how it all works. If you want to ask them if they want lower gas prices, the majority of people are going to say yes. Okay, if you ask them about food, would you like to pay less for food? I mean, people are going to say yes because money is tight, you know, and especially in this town. So one of the things that I would like Avista to really hear is that these things that they're doing by not closing the coal strip mine down are going to cost the ratepayers in the long run. They might not be their ratepayers, but they're going to be the people around the plants. They're going to pay higher medical bills. They're going to have more health problems. Their water is going to get poisoned. Their air is going to get poisoned. And someone is going to pay for that. It's not free. Polluting is not free. And we need to look at cleaning that up, starting now with a plan that's going to work towards cleaning up these things they call coal ponds, which are, I thought they were little ponds when I first heard about it. It's 800 acres. I don't know one Avista person or maybe other PGE people that would like to go move their little house right around that pond because they know it's toxic. They know it's toxic to live in that area, but, you know, some people don't have a choice. They don't have a choice where they live. They don't have a choice if they live by the tracks that carry the coal. And those are the people that are paying. I would rather see a rate increase, and we can all pay to get it going in the right direction. I would like to see us all pay that rate increase and get the coal strip power plants closed down by 2023. Burying our head in the sand, sooner or later, that sand's going to get poisoned and we're going to have to pull our head out. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you. My name is Andrew Kennelly. And I grew up in Spokane and have lived in Montana and currently reside in Sandpoint, Idaho. I've been and currently am an Avista customer. Unfortunately, too often it seems standard operating procedure for corporate America is to privatize profits while socializing cleanup costs through Superfund and other programs. I would like the energy I consume to be sourced from not only sustainable sources, but regenerative techniques that improve quality of life. While I would like to see smaller, less vulnerable, and more effective power grids, with locally controlled public utility districts, my remarks today are directed to the Avista Corporation. Avista needs to invest in clean technologies and promote conservation to keep demand for energy minimized. As a longtime customer of Avista, I am asking this company to take responsibility in advance and put money toward closing the Colstrip facility by 2025 and cleaning up the degraded environment of that community. Economic transition partnerships are possible with local groups such as tribal entities, and these hopeful investments need to be made. Changing our society from extraction-based energy to locally sourced renewables takes leadership, and Avista has a great opportunity to provide this leadership. I echo many previous comments made by other concerned citizens. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, and so the last people we have signed up this afternoon, Jacob, and I cannot for the life of me read your last name. There you go. How do you spell that, sir?
J-O-H-N-S. I don't know how to write, so maybe the good people at Avista can help me out.
Okay.
Huh? Nothing? Okay. So my name is Jacob Johns. I'm a resident of the city of Spokane, and I'm also a ratepayer. I think that a lot of times we're talking about the future, we're only thinking about our own immediate future. Now, I'm a parent. I have a five-year-old daughter, and I'm sure there's a lot of people in the room who are parents as well. So I'm here pleading on behalf of my five-year-old daughter, who has to breathe in the air that is being continuously contaminated with the coal production brought forth by Avista's ownership in the Colstrip mine. And I bring this up because not only is it just the indigenous communities of the Northern Cheyenne tribe and the Crow Agency who are affected by the environmental ramifications of toxic coal being burned in their atmosphere, as well as the people of Colstrip who have come here to so eloquently talk about their own economic interest in this. These communities are not isolated. Just to remind everybody that we do live in a big bubble and that we're breathing in the same air, right? There's no separation between us. We are breathing in the same poison that we're paying for. As they suggest new rate hikes, those new rate hikes aren't going to stop the production of CO2 emissions. You saw from the graphs and the charts that there is no decrease planned for the CO2 emissions coming from the Colstrip plant, right? That should be a concern to our children's well-being. We're at a point now where we need to start thinking about the future for our planet and for each other. Some people don't want to think about that, and they are completely separate from that issue. But the fact is that we need to stand up for our future. We need to breathe fresh air. It's too bad that we can't come to that consensus now, but it's really, really important to my five-year-old daughter that she breathes clean, fresh air. That's the plight here. That's what we're here for. That's why we took time out from our busy days to come here, because we're thinking about the future of our planet. Good thing the people of Washington can, you know, wash their hands from the dirty coal, but we're still taking power that's being derived from these dirty practices that are destroying our planet. So I plead with you on the path of the future of humanity to think logically about the future for our planet. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. All right. Cindy Zapotaki, are you here? No? Okay. Then that has actually brought us at 4 o'clock to the end of our list of people who have signed up. Now, I want to make sure for those of you who declined to speak and really wanted to share some thoughts, we are taking written comments at the commission. If you want to comment on this IRP, you should send an email to comment@utc.wa.gov. That's comment@utc.wa.gov. And make sure that you are commenting, you say in the email that you're talking about the Avista Integrated Resource Plan, the IRP. All right. With that, I really appreciate everybody who took time this afternoon to come out and share their thoughts with us. This is a very important meeting. This is a very important project that we do at the Commission when we review and evaluate the integrated resource plans of the investor-owned utilities. So thank you again. I appreciate it. We are adjourned. Thank you for coming out. I really spent a little more time listening about the solar in California. All right. Cooper, you want these?
Yeah.
So much. Come in.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Jim, thank you.
I'll see you later.
See you later?
Yes.
See you in a couple hours.